go to Ephesians chapter 1 for the moment. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I wanted to share with you today on the subject of steps of the renewing the mind. First of all, when an individual believes the gospel, God pours out in their heart his spirit. He gives them everything that they're ever going to get, to tell you the truth. That spirit and that deliverance that they have received is a complete thing. It says in Colossians that we are completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. And I want to just share some of those verses that go along with what I just said here. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "In whom you, ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." We receive that Holy Spirit when we believe the gospel. That spirit is complete. Doesn't need to be built as in you building it up. It's complete. It's the mind of the Lord, it's the power of God in your life, it's to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you got it all. In Colossians chapter 2, well, in chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of his Son." That's what the Lord did. He delivered us from darkness. We've been turned from darkness unto light. Right? Now, go to chapter 2. I just want to read another verse here. It says in verse 9, it says, "And in him," in Jesus, in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," the head God bodily. In him dwells it all right? Power, majesty, dominion. God has given it to him, all right? He's the head of this body. So in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You, now, most people don't believe what we just read. And they acknowledge it. They read the words, but then they don't lock it in and live this way. This word complete is to be completely complete, absolutely complete in him. You don't get any better than this. Like I said, you've got everything you're going to get. You don't have to pray for more power. You got all the power you need. You don't have to pray for a better connection with God. You got the connection with God. Now, that's the truth. All right? And you lock it in your brain. You choose to believe it or not believe it. That's up to you and how much you nurture these thoughts and put them on in your heart. But God has given us everything in the new birth. There's nothing to be added to the believer. You got it all. So we must believe this truth. And what I mean by believing it is put it into action in our life. You got to nurture it. You have to nurture these thoughts. And you have to renew the mind. You have to renew the heart with what God's word says. And when you do that, you will be manifest what Christ has done for you. When you don't, unless you do that, unless the believer who has this power, this magnificence, this great gift from God, unless the believer does that, they slip back into the world in which they came and in the environment in which they are around. You can be spiritually stale as a piece of bread that's been laid out on the table for a week. It's up to you to choose to put it on. But it will happen. See, God doesn't possess. It says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. Wrote it down someplace. I'll get to it sooner or later. If 30-something. God doesn't make you believe his word. He doesn't make you put on the truth. He doesn't make you stretch. You know, it's like my little granddaughter overcame a fear. You overcome something by doing it. By making yourself go through the thing. And if you want to expand what you believe, then you got to practice what it says, regardless of how you feel about it. You know, you got to go beyond where you've been. Force yourself so to grow. Discipline your mind to deal with the things you don't feel like doing. You know, I mean, we do that when it comes to going to work, right? I mean, why? Because if you don't work, you can't put food on the table, and that's uncomfortable. Do you follow me? That's more uncomfortable than getting up in the morning and going to work. That's it. It's not because you're like, you know, we're all like super wonderful people and so vigorous, you know, in our lives. And so, I don't know, what other great words you could use for an individual who's just like perfect person. You do things, you discipline yourself to do things that you don't necessarily want to do because it's better than the alternative. Every man without Christ knows that. So, if a person doesn't put the word on, they don't believe the things that Christ has said, they don't choose to just... And remember, these words were not written for your intellectual amusement or excitement. They were meant for you to practice, to put into application. Unless the word is put in application, you may know the whole Bible, but unless you put it into application, it is of zero value to you. Example, a baseball player, all right? I haven't thrown a baseball since Michael was in middle school, right? And I hadn't thrown a baseball before Michael was in middle school forever. And I remember throwing that last time I threw that baseball and my shoulder just went like, it killed me. And it killed me for a number of years after that. I'd pulled something, ripped something, did something, right? Now, I remember someone taught me, I played ball when I was a kid. I wasn't any good at it, but I played ball, all right? I remember being able to throw. I knew how to do it. But guess what? You didn't practice that thing? It didn't work out so good. Because it don't work if you don't practice. And you can know all the stats. You know, you get these people, a couple of friends of mine. They know every stat of every player, and they've never played ball in their whole life. You can know everything about the subject and about the history and about the players. You can read every word that's in this Bible and understand how it all fits together. But if you don't practice it, you ain't doing it. You just know about it. So get that point. So, three things. If you're going to be one that puts on this word, renews the mind, walks in the power of God, if you want those things in your life, I'm going to give you three things that you ought to do. There's more, but three things I'm just going to focus on. The Lordship of Jesus Christ has to be paramount to you. You know, go to Romans 10, 9, and 10. We're going to read those verses there. They're a wonderful synopsis of the gospel. And the reason I go here is because of what it says right at the beginning. In verse 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you say that he is your Lord, you confess him as Lord, and you shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the truth. That is a synopsis. If you do those things, right, and you believe the gospel, it's like I read in Ephesians chapter 1, God pours out his Spirit, and you stay faithful, you're saved. You got to. But what does it mean to confess him as Lord? We've done this a number of times. We've talked about this many a time. It's not just a one-time, okay, he's Lord, and then go about and do your own life. The first thing that's necessary, if you're going to walk by the Spirit and the power of God in your life, and that which he's given you, is you have to maintain his lordship in your life. He's got to be Lord now. He's got to be Lord in the next 10 seconds that comes from now. He's got to be Lord all the way through. And the Bible gives us very beautiful and clear instructions on these things. I mean, you know, go to Romans, back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you lights in the Lord? Walk as children of light. You are lights in the Lord. If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you're lights in the Lord. So walk as a child of light, as one that is manifesting this word of God. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Yeah, we're to walk in his steps, right? It also says in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, there ain't one among us that doesn't sin. Not a single one. Nobody's better than anybody else. It's Him. You're connected to Him. You're keeping Him Lord. You're walking in the light. You're walking in His instruction. You are doing what He says. In John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 46. The Lord says, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He is that light. And if you believe on Him, He doesn't, you won't be in darkness. You keep Him Lord. You do what He says. You know, there are many, you know, people who say, Lord, Lord, and many will say to me in that day, and when the Lord returns, Lord, Lord, you know, we prophesied in Your name, we cast out devils. And then I will say to them, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, because you didn't walk my word. Walking in iniquity is living a lifestyle of sin. You know, if you don't choose to put it on, discipline yourself to do it, and like I said, this first category, you go back to the world. You go back to the world. And that ain't healthy. So keeping Him Lord is number one. Putting on His word is number two. Second great point. If first go to Romans 12. Because when it comes to the renewed mind, that's what it's talked about here. Romans 12 and verse 1. Remember that when you read a book, right? We went through Romans many years ago, and you can go to the internet and find that teaching on the website, if you want to review it. But the first 11 chapters tells you everything that God did, why He did it, you know, and what you got. You know, those are what the first 11 chapters give you, the doctrine. Then chapter 12 is a transition here. Now, because of what He's done in the first 11 chapters, I beg you, He says, I beseech you. I am beg. Now, God is the one who's given this revelation. Paul may have wrote it down, but God is the one who is begging His people, because He can't do this for you. He can't do this for you. And get it through your head. He's done all of that, but He can't do this. I beg you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, which is logical service. You present your body. You choose your life. You choose to put this on and to live this way. You choose to serve. And be not conformed. The word conformed is to be molded. Don't be molded to this world. You want to think like everybody else thinks? You want to be stuck where everybody else is stuck? You know, we all have, what do you call it? The let's just take our upbringing, okay? We all have an upbringing. You want to believe everything that you learned when you were getting brought up? Or have you changed your mind since then? I've changed mine since I learned the word. I don't believe the things I used to believe. I don't act the way I used to act. I practice different because of God's word. I believe different because I don't choose to be go back to being molded to the environment that I grew up in. I reject it. Yeah, you keep the good, but there was an awful lot that wasn't. It's like Carmen says, you enjoy those moments when you're with the family, but there's an awful lot in between, right? But don't be conformed. Don't be molded to this world, but be transformed. Metamorpho. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it's done. He begs us to do this. He's given us everything. You got it all. Whether you believe it or not, you got it all. Well, I don't feel like. I don't care what you feel like. Feelings can be a lie. They're just things. God's word is truth. So you do this by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, it says. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, I just think that's, but you got to get it through your head. God doesn't make you do it. God doesn't hold you back from doing it. God's not in your way. You are. The devil, yeah, the enemy, he would love to discourage you. He wants to talk you out of it. He wants you to... It's about feelings, it's about emotion, it's about this, it's about that. No, it ain't. It's about you, what you choose to believe here, or you choose to believe another thing. That's up to you. And I want to take you now to another verse. Go to Psalm 138. Like I said, you got to put on his word, right? That's the second great point. First one, he's got to be Lord. You're walking, you're following the example, the steps, the commands that your Lord has given you in his in the word. And then you got to nurture this mind. You got to renew this mind by putting on that word and the importance of God's word. He makes very much known in Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has magnified, not just put it above. Magnification takes at least times two, right? Math. Yeah, I got me a math teacher. Magnification is at least by two. It says he's magnified his word above his own name, the titles that he has given in Scripture. I mean, you think about those. The possessor of heaven and earth, El Shaddai. He's the provider. He's all of it. He's magnified his word. How important should this be to us? All right, go to Psalm. We're in the book of Psalms. Let's stay there. Psalm 119. Go to verse 11. It says, Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's what you got to do. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have to choose to hide it so that you don't sin against him. Go to Psalm 105, 119:105. And by the way, this is the longest psalm in the Bible, right? Every verse in it is talking about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. That is the theme verse for this church. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's this word. It is the light. It is what you're to walk in. You are children of light. It will guide you as you walk and do it. It'll give you the counsel that you need. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. One of my favorite proverbs because it's so clear and plain. It says, my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. You incline your ear. You lean into it. You really want something, you got to lean into it. You apply your heart. You know, Joshua just graduated college, right? And he applied himself. You know, you can go to college and not do that. You can go to work and not do it. You know, don't mean you'll stay there too long, but the point is, if you apply yourself, God will teach you his word. He will make it known. If thou criest after knowledge, if you pray, you ask, you cry after it. If lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He gives it. He won't deny a child any more than you would deny your kid a glass of milk when he asked. He will give you everything that you really want. And you, if you really don't want it, you know, you're really too lazy for it or whatever, or you just, well, I'm not good enough. I don't believe what he says about me. I'm never going to be forgiven because I don't believe what he says in his word. I'm never going, you know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Or you go the whole opposite direction. That's super pride, by the way. You know so much more than God. And the other direction, the other one goes, I am so holy, I am so good, I never sin, I'm so righteous, I know so much. You're just as arrogant as the one who doesn't. The word says every man's a liar. The word says every individual is to humble themselves before him. Yeah, you know, Job did that. I don't know why God's punishing me. I've had believers say that to me this week. Okay? I mean, this is not uncommon. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I've been abundantly sharing. I've been praying. I've been going to fellowship for years. So it must be God's fault. It's not mine. See, you seek it, God will give it to you. He won't withhold anything. He will not. Just get to it. Just get to it. Truly want it. Truly spend the time, the energy that's necessary. You know, to put the thing together. The third thing that is absolutely necessary, it really is what take the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and do what he teaches and commands, right? You put on this word of God, which God has given to us. It is that which tells us the truth, and the truth is what makes us free. And the next thing is absolutely required, because it puts it into action, and that's walking in love. Really walking in love. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Start there. Says, be therefore followers of God as their children. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. See, walk in love as Christ. As he did. He gave himself as a sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Give your bodies as a living sacrifice. He doesn't need dead ones. He wants living ones. When you're dead, you can't do nothing. When you're alive, you can serve him and love him. You know, we all know that we'll get up again, but the point is, we got this day to give. And do it like Christ did. Love like he loved. And you know, and there's the verse in 1 Corinthians that I was talking about before, chapter 14. It's in verse 32. He's talking about spiritual matters in Corinthians, you know. And this is why I wanted to bring it to your attention. God begs us to renew our minds, right? Because that's the one thing he can't do. Then he tells us, the spirit I gave you is subject to you. Whether you have a ministry in the body, that thing is subject to you, the individual. Whether you have manifestations and you're operating those, they are subject to you. Okay? God doesn't make you do it correctly. He doesn't make you do it at all. There are people who are God-fearing Christians who don't believe because they're afraid of manifesting the Spirit of God. They're afraid because they don't want to believe that aspect of God's Word. You know, so it says here in verse 32, the spirit of the prophet. The prophets are subject to the prophets. In the Corinthian church, these guys were trying to outdo one another. Right? Well, here it is. Oh, I'm inspired, therefore I had to speak. You know, in the middle of my teaching, somebody jumps up and starts prophesying because they're inspired. Well, you know what? That's subject to you, pal. And you're the one that's out of order. Same thing with rolling on the floor. Same thing with anything else. I'm inspired. If it's decent and in order, is it comely? All right? Because the Spirit's subject to you. Spirit ain't making you jump up and interrupting somebody else. It's not making you, well, your prophecy wasn't so good, so I got to do a longer and better one. See, the love prophesies to bless the church and give the church the edification, exhortation, comfort that it needs. And that's how it's manifested when it's done correctly. It's about the church. Not about you, not about anything else. Not ever about, look at verse 33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. God is never going to do anything that causes confusion, contention among other people. He doesn't do that. But the Spirit is subject to the man who's got it. And men can have other motives. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. See, without truly walking in love, without truly walking in God, because you're doing what you're doing because you love God and you love the brethren. All right? What you're doing is for a different motive. And only really, sometimes I don't even know. I don't sit around thinking to myself, am I doing what I'm doing right this, you know, now because of God or because I'm just having fun? I mean, you know, it's like this morning's teaching. I didn't sit around and think about, is my motive straight? I just live, you know, and hopefully I catch myself when it's not straight. I don't sit around thinking about I have to tie the shoelace. You sort of, after a while, you do that at the beginning, you learn how to do something, but then after a while, it just is kind of natural. Just, you do it. I don't sit around, I pray before I teach, I pray before I study, I pray, and I ask God to help me and this, that, and the other thing, but I don't say, am I straight with God? Am I got it together? Have I confessed all my sins today? I don't do that. I don't know about you, but I don't. I don't live my life under that kind of, yeah, that's pressure in it. Because then you don't really believe that you're his child and he loves you and he's merciful and he already knows that you're a sinner and that you're grass and you need his help. And just like my kids didn't walk around wondering, well, is daddy going to feed me tonight? You know, is he going to give me what I need tonight? They just lived their life, went to the refrigerator, got whatever they wanted, jumped in the bed. The heat was always on. The roof didn't leak back then. I had it changed. But you know, they were free to love. And that's what you are free to love. You put on this word. You choose the discipline. You do what he says with the manifestations. You do exactly what he says and how he says it. You choose. And then when it comes to this chapter 13, he tells you right up front in different ways. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, speaking in tongues is worshiping God. He's given you the words to worship him. The Corinthians decided to do this as a competition of who's more spiritual. They weren't doing it because they love God. They were all speaking in tongues together all at the same time out loud. And people would come in that were brand new and they'd say, aren't these people mad? And they'd do exactly the opposite thing because God wants people reconciled, not freaked out because of you. Do you get it? Is that spirit subject to you? You can speak in tongues anytime you want. Anytime you want. Out loud to yourself. You got control. Spirit subject to you. God says, it's between you and him. You're speaking to him. This is private. Not to be done out loud unless it's interpreted in the church. That's obedience. He's Lord. This is how the word says to live. This is what I do. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not this love for God as the motive, I am becoming a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a lot of noise. Just like if I pray and just don't think about the words. I just, all right, you know, I pray. Yeah, God, you know. And you really didn't do it. You did it to, like the Pharisees did it, to impress other people. Or you pray because, well, I'm supposed to. I really don't want to pray, but I'll pray for the dinner because it's Thanksgiving and it's a tradition. It's not for God, it's just tradition. It's just a noise to him. Though I have prophecy, the gift of is in italics, it's word added. Though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Get it straight. Can an individual manifest all these manifestations? In order to remove a mountain, this is the manifestation of faith. In order to get the manifestation of faith, God's got to tell you, I want you to remove the mountain. Then you do it. You command it to happen. And because you manifest that spirit, it happens. But if you do it and you have the ability, you have the God-given ability to do it. I mean, what did his prophets do? What did Jesus do? You're going to do greater works than he did and more. You got the ability to do it. But if you don't do it because you love God, you want nothing. That's when Jesus the Lord says to those guys in that day when he returns, oh, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. I never knew you, pal. You're not one of mine. But you did the work. You manifested the Spirit. But you ain't mine. So manifesting the Spirit doesn't mean much. Do you follow me that way? It's love, the motivation. Charity suffers long. This love, it puts up with a lot. It's kind. It is kind. This, it envies not. Charity vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not about you. It's not about ego. You know, you're puffed up if you say you can do something and you really can't. You're not lying at all if you can do what you said. There's the difference. It does not behave itself unseemly. It's not inappropriate. You know what's inappropriate? Walking into, you know, if you're a guest in somebody's house and they don't give, and, you know, let's say, I'm going to throw them out here. You're a guest and you walk in and go lay down in their bed because you need a nap. It's called inappropriate. Now, if you're two and you do that, it's excusable. If you're 20 plus, Nah. Do you follow me? There's behavior that's appropriate and behavior that's not appropriate. Do you have the right to do it? Are you free to do it? Oh, yeah. Don't mean that it's going to stay, you know. In other words, what am I going to do, yell at you? Yeah. But you still got there. You still did it. Nobody bound you in chains. Love acts appropriately in whatever situation you're in. If you're in someone's home, and again, I go to Lawrence Zupan's home. He is a vegan. I don't bring a gift of hamburgers. You follow me? I got to know a little bit, care a little bit, think a little bit. It's always good to think. So that's, I love that thing. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. You don't even go there. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. And by the way, the context is the truth. Okay? It bears all things that are the truth, believes all things according to the truth, hopes all things that are according to the truth. You don't believe every snake oil salesman that comes your way. It endures all things that are according to the truth. This kind of love never fails. It doesn't fail. Never lets you down. But whether there'll be prophecies, one day they'll come to an end. It's going to cease. They shall fail. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there'll be knowledge, it's going to vanish away. You're not going to need the word of knowledge one of these days. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That's as good as it gets. But when that which is perfect is come, when our Lord and Savior returns, then that which is in part, see, we got toys right now. We're children. We don't understand everything. We're children of God. We don't understand everything. He's given us a spirit. That's all you're going to get. And you got the ability to move mountains, cast the sea, do miracles, heal, raise the dead. Those are all toys. Those are all toys. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, when my Lord returns and I am raised from the dead and I got a new mind and a new body, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, smoke glass. But then, when he returns, face to face. Now I know in part. But then, when he returns, shall I know even also as I am known. He knows every hair of my head, and I'm going to know everything about him. Everything. It's reciprocal. In that day. And now abides, right now, we got three things. Faith, hope, and love, charity. These three things, the greatest of these is love. There's coming a day you won't need faith anymore because you'll have everything. You won't need hope anymore because it's already happened. But you'll always walk in love. That's probably why it's the greatest. Because, again, without walking in love, You can know all the scripture, but if you don't practice it and live it, it's for nothing. If your motive ain't straight, it's for nothing. You got the power of God. He's not giving you an inch more. If you don't manifest what you see in the Bible, it's because of you, not because of him. Again, and I don't, you know, well, I want to raise the debt. If he tells you, you can. But he's never going to tell somebody who doesn't believe it and is not willing to do it. Do you follow me? That would be unseemly. So you got to choose to be willing. You got to choose to be seeking. And you got to choose to walk it. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. God bless.